Man, you always got to get excited to talk some UVA football, man. You got to keep that energy going all the way to the spring, and then from the spring to camp, then from camp to the season, and do it all over again. But that's what we're doing. Keep using these Twitter spaces on at least Monday, and then something else pop up, you know, I'll pop out. I didn't record the Petty Hawk Twitter spaces. I don't know why I didn't add them. I just won't in the mood to add that as a bonus episode. So maybe I'll go back. But I just ain't feel like it. I kind of wanted that to just be like special. Like they just had to be there. Like you don't get no do over from that. That was the one that you had to be there, or you just missed it. You know what I'm saying? Tremaine, what's up? Tremaine's in the building, people. Tremaine's in the Hey, y'all, let me know if this mic is too hot, because I'm talking to my mixer. They're not my phone by itself. So if I'm too loud, let me know. I'll cut the volume down on my mic. If not, you give me the 100 emoji showing that I'm good. And if you want to be a speaker, just ask to be a speaker. You know, you can share your thoughts. Question. We'll discuss Coach Elliott's press conference today. For the record, Ball Hawk is not calling Coach CTE. I'm not calling him that. No. So even if you tweet me with that, I'm not gonna really respond to that abbreviation for him. Don't use that, please. Okay? Can we not use that abbreviation for him? Respectful. You know? Ain't nothing wrong calling him Coach Elliott. You know? Everybody don't need a great nickname. I know we got a Tony as the basketball coach. A lot of y'all want to say football Tony. You could call him that. Coach E, you could call him that. But I ain't calling him Coach. You know the three letters. I'm not doing that. Especially with football. Like, what? Hell no.
You're
my language. What up, OG?
Yeah, nah, man. Don't be calling that man head trauma.
Yeah, man.
Nah, like, what man. Are we, nah.
Like, come on, man.
Nah.
That's just
Coach
me, though.
E.
That's just me. That's just me. Like, on people with their own platform, respectfully, they could do as they please. But,
Yeah, man. Coach
if
E,
if
man.
They address me with that, then I'm a correct them and say, yeah, Coach Elliott. I'm not going to use that. That's all. I'm just speaking for myself.
So how you feeling about today? From the things you heard, what you feeling like?
Yeah, so, yeah, for the appreciate that. So from the things I heard from Coach Elliott, man, one thing I want to say about Coach Elliott is very intentional and a straight shooter. But when he's shooting his shot at you, he's not going to be malicious, but it's going to be the truth. So a lot of times when people would get kind of upset with Bronco in a sense, like, Coach Elliott is honest, but he might not be as blunt. Like he's willing to sit there and really break down so you could fully understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Because I'll give you a prime example, and I probably have to repeat this once more and more people come in. One line that he said that jumped out to me that I appreciated, but can really cause folks to have calls to pause or make it seem like it's a diss or a shot, because I remember when Bronco did this. But he said when it came to his coaching staff, those guys understood how to do more with less. All right,
that stood out to me too.
Yeah, so when somebody says they know how to do more with less, somebody's going to take that as in, so what you saying? We ain't got the talent? No.
No, it's a lot harder for them to recruit at Army, Air Force, you know what I'm saying, Navy, where they was coming from. And then at the same time, I respected that, because when you look at some of those kids that have those offers, and you know what I'm saying, Cox was out there offering some of them kids first. It was a lot of Hollow Springs kids that received offers from them guys. Some of them guys that we would not offer. You know what I'm saying? So that stood out to me. And doing more with less is going to take a lot of that here until you build that rep up. So that showed me that he understood exactly what time it is and what needs to be done. He's a smart man.
Yeah, and a statement. So this is how I interpret a statement like that. When somebody said they understand how to do more with less, that tells me that they know how to develop talent. That tells me they pay attention to detail. That tells me they don't take anything for granted. That tells me they're always up for the challenge. That tells me they ass gonna fight. That tells me they don't look at the shiny car. So they understand mm-hmm. what they got, and they know how to build game plans around what each player does well.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that let me know that for a first-time head coach, he understands where he's coming from and what he's transitioning into. So a lot of times when you are a new coach and you come into a program, it could be a gift and a curse, right? So the gift can be, all right, so when Bronco got here, London had 5-star guys here that he recruited. But we did a 5- and 4-star guys we recruited but didn't win. So Bronco inherited those guys and, as people say in air quotes, benefited from the guys that London recruited. People always throw that in your face. Well, when you recruit your class, let's see what you do with your guys because you're playing with somebody else's guys, Pauls, but you're still developing them. Like a lot of people can recruit. Everybody can't develop. And that's why I always kind of sit back and look at folks like, but, okay, granted, they didn't go out there and recruit that player, but they damn sure got more out of that player than the old regime. So I don't care who brought the kid in. Damn it, they did something with him. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how you got the girl. You married her. And it's working.
It seems like it aligns exactly what 2J and Higgins has been doing. Not a lot of people knew about Dontavian Wicks. Nobody knew about Lavelle Davis. Not a lot of people took a chance on Olu when he came here. And he turned water to wine. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. They developed hard-going, consistent players that you see out here every single day that you know you're going to depend on. We know it ain't too many people that's guarding Dontavian Wicks out here. 247 lied to y'all. They lied straight to your face. 247 lied to you about Lavelle Davis. Not too many people going to guard him out there with a straight face and line up before the ball snap with a straight face with confidence in their chest. Not too many people doing that. Not too many people is changing those linemen like he did. Even though that was an influx and we did lose some, I'm confident in what he brought in because he has shown what type of developer he is. So that whole thing tied together. As soon as I read that whole thing, it connected all the dots in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I completely understand that. All the way around from every single level. You're going to have to develop it. As simple as that. He don't have the same options that he had at Clemson when you get the best pick in the litter. So he needed to hire those guys around him that are known for developing. That's mm-hmm. what they're known for, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I feel like that was a complete circle dots right there. That joint circled all the way up for me.
Hey, Hawk.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's – people are going to take it the wrong way, but I don't really think it's a diss at all. If anything, it's just like he's coming in to a good situation, a decent situation. But until we get to that level where we are consistently winning 8-9 games, you're going to pull your 4- and 5-stars every now and then. You'll get those diamonds in the rough. But until you consistently do it, you're not going to be shoveling in those types of recruits. Not to say that these guys who are 3- and 2-stars can't be made into something great. I mean, we saw it with Bryce Hall. We saw it with many guys. But you're going to need to have those coaches that can bring the best out of those players mm-hmm. To start off with. And once you get consistently good and having 8, 9, 10 win seasons, then those coaches who are bringing the best out of these guys who maybe just need some coaching up, just imagine what they can do with these big time recruits. I don't really think it's a diss. I just think it's just
truth.
A building block.
Only reason yes, why sir. I say it's a diss. Only reason why I say people are gonna take
some
it
people will take it like that.
is because we've seen it firsthand from my old coach. And he said, hey, I have this many ACC players, and then next year I plan to have this many. And I plan, like, people took it as, like, I don't understand, like, because people are so, they're so on edge that somebody's making an excuse for themselves. This case, like, they think somebody's building in an excuse versus being transparent. Like, people don't, some people just don't understand transparency. I give you the prime example of transparency that was taken so wrong that people are now eating crow. Ja'Marr Chase, when he got with the Bengals and he had struggles in the preseason catching the football, he was very transparent about how the college football is different than the professional football. He's absolutely 100% correct. It is. I'm a person who caught both football, and I felt like the NFL ball was actually easier to catch. But he said he struggled just because of what the ball looked like and how one is smaller than the other. And he was transparent about it. And a lot of folks, football people that know me, were just saying, yo, he making an excuse. And I'm like, hold on, bro. You do that transition yourself. You trying to say both balls are easy? I mean, both balls are the same? And they say no. I said, well, if you know both balls aren't the same, why you think he making an excuse? Fast forward now, they up here bragging about the type of season he has. I said, but you forgot. You thought little homie was making an excuse for being honest. And I think a lot of times when somebody's honest and they're willing to stand on their 10 and they're brave enough to display transparency, the folks who are very guarded and introverted and won't do it will say, oh, you shouldn't say that. That's a diss. Like, nah, they just being honest. And that's why I loved about him today, because he was just saying, look, I understand the transition. I understand what Coach Rudd and that defense, that A, you know, we know on the surface, everybody has to have their base scheme of a 3-4. But if you can't be multiple, you're not going to be successful. He said, as a former offensive coordinator, if I saw you was going to stand in that set and you was going to always show me that defensive front, I'm going to get you because I'm going to set you up. But if you can show me multiple, then it makes it more difficult. So that's what I loved about him. Just it allows you into his thought process. He talked about how he had relationships with majority of other coaches and like close relationships. Like he had been putting them through interviews over the years and he didn't even know it. You know, like that type of stuff, man, how he just presents himself and he opens it up in a sense to where it's like, all right, my man, he out here really getting it. And when folks was trying to rush him to announce this coach or announce this or announce that, even when he was talking about going to recruit back in my area of the 757 and going across to the beach, he knew, let me take Biscuit, let me take Slade. Y'all go in because they're going to know you. They ain't going to know me. I'm not going to be naive and think I'm the head coach. You know me. Like, nah, I'm going to let you talk to some familiar faces who you got a relationship with and allow them to transition me into the conversation and be that bridge for the relationship. And that's why I appreciate it about him, man. Like, he said a lot in the press conference that I know more and more people will probably come in and ask questions about, so I don't want to give it all at once. But the thing that jumped out to me, and I even asked this question, was the more with less. Because we look at a lot of coaches that we respect, NBA, people respect Popovich because they feel like he did more with less compared to Phil Jackson. You look at Bill Belichick, more or less, because the household name guys weren't household names until he got that thing rolling.
Shoot, you know, Tony, I think it's more Tony like, Bennett. Tony Bennett at times.
Tony Bennett, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and then when you go back, and that's what's so great about sports, right? You don't give a coach. So you don't understand how good a player really is. The coach develops them, and then you're successful. And then it's like, all right, we need more players. But then, when you reflect back on those teams, you realize, that team had a lot of pro talent, whether it's baseball, football, basketball. When you look back on those rosters, it's like, damn, there was a lot of pros on that team, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day. And that makes a difference. But they developed that talent. They invested in that talent. They believed in that talent. They took a chance on that talent. Because these recruiting services aren't going to always get it right. They're human. It's so many athletes that you got to evaluate every single day. And you got to place this metric system that hits the escalator of, okay, top tier, 5-star. Okay, good tier, 4-star. three stars. Some of y'all got to be two stars. Some of y'all got to be one. Some of y'all, we ain't seen enough film with you, so we can't give you a star. So those are the ones that feel slighted. But it's like, yo, your visibility wasn't up to par to really get that true evaluation. And you slip onto a team that has this diamond in the rough. When Wick stepped on the campus, Coach Hagen's like, "Hawk, we got us one. That one right there, just keep your eyes. Matter of fact, go talk to him. Tell me what you think." And over the years, seeing Wick develop behind closed doors, and when LaVell went down, I was devastated. But when people was like, "Man, we ain't got nobody," I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got somebody that's healthy now."
Yep, right.
And everybody was like, "I don't know, Hawk." I'm like, "I'm telling you, bro, he built different. He's not LaVell. He's not 6'7". But he T.O. He baby T.O. without – he's Terrell. He's not T.O. He's Terrell, meaning ain't going to be no headache. This the one that – this the T.O. that was crying when he caught the touchdown pass. That guy. Trust me. And he made me feel like Nostradamus. But I'm just speaking on what I saw. Like, yo, that kid has it all. So –
so if you take that one that resonated, you know, the one that I take this one then. Well, another one that stood out to me was him saying that he wanted the running backs to be the heartbeat of the team. Physicality, physical football right there. Mm-hmm. Something that I feel like we got away with. Let Mike Hollins run up the middle and blow a linebacker's helmet off like he has done habitually. He is a habitual linebacker helmet blower offer in a legal way. That shit is so crazy to me, dog. Like, if one-on-one contact, the linebacker, I've seen two, one in high school, and there's one in college. And, I mean, they were both the same pad level, and just his initial show, that joint shot right up in the air. Like, he got uppercut. That was crazy. Physicality. That stood out to me. I can't wait to see us pound the rock. Of course we know Brennan gonna spin. We know that. We know it for a fact. You don't think that man excited to work with Brennan? I don't know what you on. I got a little cup for you to pee in. That's what I got to say about that, because that man's quarterback rooms that he done had for the last 11 years, and ain't no drop off. Actually, this quarterback is better than his last times five.
Yeah. And is my mic clear? Somebody was saying that I might sound muffled.
Yeah, you clear now. Now you clear. I was getting ready to say something, but that's why I didn't say nothing, because it had picked back up normal.
And not to mention, not just Mike Collins, you also got to consider a guy like Ronnie Walker coming back.
Yep, Ronnie. I never Ahmad Foster.
Yeah, I never felt like Ronnie really got his fair share of carries when Bronco was here. He did a lot of fullback, but I really feel like if you give him that opportunity, he can help shoulder that load.
Yeah, I think them having the running backs, Sim saying they wanted to be the heartbeat of the team, stood out to me about physicality. So we got what you went with, you know what I'm saying, being able to do more with less. We got the running backs. With them two things right there, that's two major things that, A, number one, doing more with less, you're going to have to do at UVA, period. Until you establish yourself, that's number one, what you got to do, period. All the way around, just win, baby, win. And everything else is going to fall into place. One thing we got away from the last couple of years is running the ball, you know. It's going to be good to see us getting back to running the ball. I'm sad that we can't have Devin Darrington benefit from that, because, man, that boy's a brick house. Having him benefit from that would have been great, too.
Honestly, we didn't run the ball since 2018, though.
There you go. Since 2018. So, it'll be good to see us getting back to that physicality. You know, it might open up the play. It's going to open up the play action a hell of a lot more. When you got BK, KT, LaVell, Dontavian, Grant Mitch coming across the middle, and he play action, you don't have a choice but to bite, because Mike been gassing your ass for like 6.5 per touch. So you don't have a choice but to step forward 2-3 steps. You know what I'm saying? So I love that. I loved every bit of that.
I think, you know, with him saying with the acronym HART stood for and where it originated from, being in that running back's room at Clemson and how it can transition here, is that if you're making the running back position the heart of your team, that means the guys up front get to tee off. They're not catching. They really get to go down here and be nasty. And a lot of times, I feel like you could do an offensive lineman a disservice if majority, like 70%, 80% of the time, you're trying to throw the football. And you're creatures of habit. So if you always kick, and catching. Well, I mean, you can still be violent. My man Ray Robinson, you can still be violent while you pass blocks. But he, you know, he played in that low and nasty. His offensive lineman here, they got after you. So it's nothing like when you letting that running back tote that thing 20, 25 times and powers and whams. They don't call it whams just because it's a cute name. No, they call it wham because they about to wham you. Like, they about to hit your hind part.
Forehead pad ringing. Off the snap.
That's a physicality in a sense that matriculates throughout the whole team, because if you're focusing on making sure you're balanced and you're physical up front offensively, guess what that's doing for you defensively? It's preparing you to be physical as well. You're going to get your ass kicked all camp. And nobody likes to get their ass kicked. So that's what I like.
I also picked up in the press conference, he said that we are looking to recruit our type of players for their type of system. And what I've noticed with, not to say that our guys last year couldn't run block, because I'm sure they could to some extent, but it wasn't their strength. It seems like with these O-line commits coming in and transfers, they are putting a point on fighting very physical, hard-nosed offensive linemen that'll put you on your ass, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's clear that they are going after a certain type of player as far as a physicality standpoint of running the football.
Yeah, but yeah, you got to have that mindset has to come from up top, though. Like, I guess I don't want to like just say that they couldn't do it, but if you don't allow them to repeatedly keep headbutting the hell out of somebody, I don't really know how tough they are as far as running the ball. If I know we're going to keep throwing them up, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, sooner or later, it's like yesterday, right? And I said this before, and I hate to just jump around, but look at the NFL playoffs. A lot of the time, look at Andy Reid and his career. You know, I'm an Eagle fan when he was with the Eagles, and then now that he's with KC, I told somebody, I said, the only thing that worries me about Andy Reid versus the Bengals, then what happens when he gets out and he get a lead and you got to slow the game down and be physical and invest in running the damn football? Is that built in your DNA to just say, I'm going to be simple? Just, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm coming down here. And you saw when they got into Cincinnati, used their last timeout. Anybody in their right mind that has confidence that they can run the football would say, all right, we just going to pound it now. We're going to pound it. Hey, man, get you three or four, all down at the one or two, whatever little Madden type of theory you want to use that you think is so easy to just score in the last minute so you won't give somebody enough time. But the fact that they asked try to damn play action off of Reed zone and got Mahomes running around and knowing he can't throw it away to stop the clock and taking those sacks, it just showed me, it's like, damn, dog, you really didn't have faith. You could slow the damn game down. But I also knew KC line was always when it came to running the ball.
Mm-hmm. But
it's like, is it the line or is it coming up from up top? Because you like when we talk about Coach Wells and we talked about his offensive defense, when you looked at who that coordinator was, you knew his mindset was, in this situation, we're going to do this. In this situation, we're going to do that. And if it got nut-cutting time, you knew Walsh would be like, Christ, run the ball. Like, you knew what was coming. He was going to say, run the football, a.k.a. mindset. You know what we're going to do. They know what you're going to do. We train for this. And I just feel like it got to start in practice to where it's like, yo, we can say what we want, like, who we recruit, who's in here, what they can, what they can't do. But damn it, your mindset better be right where you know. Everybody in the stadium know. It's the fourth quarter, 4 minutes left. We up by seven. We got to take some time off the clock. We lining up. You know what's coming. We running it. What you going to do?
But Ball Hawk.
Yep.
I'm wondering, what do you think changed? Because you said we ain't really ran the ball like that since 2018. So what in your mind really changed? Because I remember 2018, they were handing that rock to Jordan Ellis like 25 times a game. Yeah. So what has changed between then and this past year? Do you just think it was
the quarterback? Yeah, they got more. So Kurt Benkert was a prototypical QB. We threw a lot with him, right? And then when Perk came, Perk was transitioning from the junior college. So it was like, we got to keep it simple, and we got this bell cow who's always number one in the jersey draft. We know he's strong as an op. Give him his touches. Give him his touches. Anytime he touched the ball 20 or more carries, we won. You know what I'm saying? Granted, when we played, what was Ohio, he had that big rushing game that really, when you look at the season, that put him over the 1,000-yard threshold. Even in the bowl game, Jordan got loose. But the game that jumped out to me the most was the Miami game, when they just gave it to Jordan late. Because it's like, they didn't have that trust in the quarterback position just yet, right?
Basically, even when they was running, they would prefer to run the quarterback rather than the running back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Bryce.
I mean, Bryce still had 900 yards. This is still Bryce's first time being a starter in years. So they were – what you would do, they were coaching, keeping it simple for a guy that was transitioning to being a full-time starter. Then the very next year, it was, we got a Ferrari back here. And you saw what happened. He took off. So then it goes from Bryce to now we got Brennan, another one. So if you, and sometimes we, our success can be our biggest Achilles. So you were successful running around with your quarterback and throwing with your quarterback. You look at BYU, majority of the time, it was the quarterback being the determinant. So even though Williams ran for 1,000 yards 1 year there as well. But it's like, sometimes you become a creature of habit, and sometimes you got to get out your own way and really break it down. Like, all right, man, we might need to change something up. So
yeah, because they were putting a lot of miles on them QBs. Because you've seen it the last 3-4 years. Though it was amazing to watch our quarterbacks run and throw the ball like they did, the usage rate was so high. You knew you were going to constantly deal with bumps and bruises and injuries. So it'd be good to be able to hand that ball off to multiple running backs to spread that love. I promise you, it'll make the biggest difference in Brennan's health.
But Brennan got hurt in the pocket. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When Brennan tried to slide, he got knocked out, NC State. When he hurt his knee, he was in the pocket.
But against BYU, he was running the ball, and he made that.
We don't know, but we don't know when that, because he said it was hurting him early in the game. So we don't know what play actually. You know what I'm saying? Because
I see what you're saying.
This is always my theory, and it's not me coming at you, but my theory with like the mobile quarterback versus like the pocket quarterback and that risk and things like that. I always tell folks, I feel like quarterbacks take bigger hits when they're in the pocket versus when they run, because at least you can see the hit coming and you can kind of prepare yourself versus the blindside hit. And that's just my theory. You know what I'm saying? But in anything, you want to utilize that running back to help them take less hit. Now, that's what I agree with. Yeah. Any way you can alleviate hit.
Mm-hmm. More what I'm saying is when your quarterback is constantly running and doing all that work, I feel like sometimes when they're in the pocket, they get a little relaxed, and sometimes their instincts get a little bit slower when you're real tired, and that's when sometimes you're just unlucky, to be honest with you. Sometimes you're unlucky. But I just think it will make a difference in Brennan's health, not being expected to do everything.
Yeah, it's peace of mind.
That's exactly what that is. It's going to be a peace of mind and not have to throw the ball 65 times and go put that Ben Gay up on your shoulder all the way up to your neck and got your sheet smelling like your grandpa with that jack.
Mm.
Pass it to the running back.
In the building.
That's what I want to talk.
Hi, how's it going?
You got to say about T.E.
How's everybody doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
Been doing good. Looking forward to Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Because that means Tony Elliott's meant to speak at 11:30, which means that'll probably be the last story I file for probably 3 days while I take a little mini vacation.
Look at you ready. Got it mapped out.
But no, I was, I'm going to just open up and say that I was really impressed with, the press conference, but I think what made me more impressed was at the 30 minute mark, when all the reporters had a chance to ask their questions, Jim Davis, the UVSAD, asked Tony Elliott if he wanted to stay on so that we can do another round of questions. And he said, yeah, sure. And just kind of sat back and let us do another round of questions. And he stayed there for almost an hour. So I really appreciated that. And that's just showing the openness that, you know, that's good for the program to just be open up like that. And allowed us to, you know, get some of the questions that we wanted answered since we haven't talked to him since the first press conference that he had as UVA head coach. So that was really appreciative. And obviously he confirmed what Will Bettridge said, that Keith Gaither was going to be the, special teams coordinator, which is a lot of people were trying to figure out what was that, since his role was not announced during that first, you know, reveal of the staff. I also like what he had to say about how they're handling recruiting. Now, we've already seen how they're handling recruiting right now, because we got to see firsthand before he even talked about it. Mm-hmm. They've been doing really well on getting these kids on campus, on grounds, and just showing them this model program that they want to be built. And these kids really resonate with this message. They really like this idea that they're going to be champions of men. And they've been really inspired on these visits. I think the big thing that I've been hearing is how Tony Elliott is very involved. And you can see just from, you know, Snoop's commitment video of, you know, how Elliott is really involved in recruitment and how he, you know, just resonates with these players. These guys understand Elliott's message and they really like it. So it's been good to see that. And I really like one thing that stood out to me was that he understands the college football landscape is changing. One question that I asked was about recruiting those guys in the transfer portal that obviously today Faumui decided to take his name out of the transfer portal officially today. We've seen him working out in all those UVA football videos, but he was still in the transfer portal up until about 11:15 this morning. And it was, you know, he understands that the game has changed where he needs to recruit these players in the locker room consistently. So that was good to understand that it's not about status quo, that things are continually changing. So that's also good to see. And he also understands that, yes, you want to increase your in-state relationships and you want to recruit in-state, but UVA is in a position that you can't ignore those prep schools around the country. You know, you wouldn't have Xavier Brown if you didn't recruit those prep schools in the country. So I really like that he understands that, and he says you want to expand the brand of UVA so he can supplement your in-state recruiting with that. So not ignore one or the other. You have to have a balance. You can't just say we're going to recruit in-state and then ignore the other things. And you also can't ignore in-state and go through the prep school system. So that was one thing that I liked also about what he was talking about.
So I got a question for you. You know, this is your third coaching regime. You know what I'm saying? You got to work with Dan Mullen. You got to work with Bronco. Now you're working with Coach E. What is one characteristic that you can say is different from those two? You know what I'm saying? That you like about Tony?
Yeah, I also worked with Jim McElwain and Mike London.
There you go.
So they're all... Sorry, my son is just screaming. So I always temper my expectations. I think I've been burned before. Like, I covered Dan Mullen, right? And initially he was all about recruiting when he first started at Florida. I mean, the staff was all over it. They were talking about in-state recruiting. They were doing all these wonderful things. And you know how that story ended at Florida. So I always temper my expectations early on because it's really easy to kind of go and fire in all cylinders the first couple weeks because you're still not tired of the long-term game. So what I liked about Tony Elliott, rather than, let's say, Dan Mullen's first press conference and just about the press conference afterwards, was there's not a lot of filler words, not a lot of arrogance to it. That's something that if you've ever heard a Dan Mullen press conference, you know there's a little bit of the arrogance in there. There was a lot of, you know, self-congratulatory saying, you know, I've won national championships, I've won this, I've won that. But Tony Elliott's won national championships. And he didn't focus on that. That's not his focus. He was talking about how he wanted to change the UVA program, how he wanted to move forward. He congratulated the former staff, Dan Mullen, when he came aboard Florida. He kind of dissed the former staff, although Jim McElwain's staff, to be fair to them, they did a really good job in the recruiting trail. They just couldn't develop players. They couldn't put those in positions to succeed. Well, Dan Mullen was the opposite. In the beginning, he was recruiting players, but he was developing the players that McElwain brought in and then couldn't recruit the players for his system afterwards. So with Tony, I really liked the fact that he was talking about the team rather than himself. And then he was also talking about how his assistant coaches also follow the same mentality. That's the reason why he chose these guys. Either he has relationships with them for years, or they had the same belief system, or, you know, to the guys who he retained, those guys know what UVA means. So what Tony Elliott's done, he's made a staff who's pretty balanced of where he had personal relationships before and who had personal relationships with UVA. So I think that is the biggest thing that I think really will resonate with people. And now I just want to see how they put together their board. You know, the coaches are going to take Thursday and Friday off. They deserve a couple of days off after some craziness the last few weeks. And then they're going to sit down and work what's left in the 2023 or 2024, because you got to start recruiting those guys as soon as possible. Recruiting never stops. And then also see if there's any other pieces left for the transfer portal, because although National Signing Day is Wednesday, they still can sign transfers later on. Transfer never stops. So then they'll have the opportunity to see some of these guys in action during spring and really evaluate what they need. So yeah, that's where I'm looking forward to seeing. And honestly, like I'm not going to have any snap judgments. I like what I see so far, but it's going to take a year or two for me to actually evaluate the staff. I think if you evaluate the staff after two press conferences and one recruiting cycle, you can't do that. So the only thing I can say is that everything is great. Like it's positive. I've seen some good things, and I'm excited to see how this staff kind of moves forward.
No, I definitely appreciate that, Jackie. And I agree with you. It's difficult because when folks say, "Hey, man, what you think about the coaching staff?" and I just be like, "You want me to just like, if I'm looking at a roster and try to look for the sexy name, like you want me to look at the Lakers and be like, oh, I love the roster. Look at the name. Like, hell no, I got to wait and see what they do." You know, so I'm with you on that. It's a lot of things where in order to really and truly evaluate a coaching staff, you got to give them time, man. Like it takes a minute, man, for somebody to really get in here and their coach really gets the ball flowing and they consistently win games and you see their philosophy and their mindset. And I know a lot of fans want to know this, so I'm going to go ahead and just get to this. I doubt he continues the jersey draft. He did say he would allow the older guys to have first dibs as far as what they would like. Like, if they really did embrace the jersey draft, then, I don't know, but he said he had talked to them. But the older guys that have the numbers will, the hell? What are you doing?
Clapping. Being simple, clapping.
Hey, yo. But yeah, he said he's going to talk to the older guys about the jersey process. And he said at the end of the day, the jersey don't make tackles. The jersey number don't make tackles. The jersey numbers don't help you catch the ball. But I'm still like Jerry Rice. Look good, feel good. We all superstitious too, God dang. I need my damn number. But but if I don't get it, I'm still going to play. But, damn, man, I want my number. God dang it. Give me my number. But, yeah, so I know all the fans. So it looks like the jersey draft won't exist anymore. So there you have it, OG, just for you.
Hey, man. And you know how we do it. I love it.
You know? I didn't even see it as a damn. I told y'all, I never saw it as a draft anyway. Like, if you respect me, you're not going to take my number. I'm going to black your eye.
Yeah, that too. I respect it, you know. I respect that. I ain't got nothing bad to say about how the last 6 years went up until that final play. One of them final plays, you know. There's a couple plays in between. But what was, you know, what they acquired as opposed to what a lot of them left here with is a completely different playing field, you know, as opposed to what Tony's inheriting. You know what I'm saying? He definitely inherited the team.
He said he respected Bronco and applauded Bronco for what he did with this program. Compared to when he inherited and to where it is today, he didn't just blow up everything as far as the operations with the folks that helped, but behind the scenes, like once he met with them and saw that it was some good things, some great things going, that he just allowed those folks to stay put. So he wasn't coming here with an ego, man. And that's what I love about him, man. You can see that in how he got this staff together, man. Like, he didn't go out there trying to make splash hires and big name hires as far as, oh, that's a hell of a coach here. That's a hell of a coach. That the fact that he can, the fact that when he talked about each and every coach, man, how he was like Sean McVay with, like how Sean McVay is with his plays, you could ask him like 4 years ago at 4 minutes and he could tell you what happened. Like, when they asked about the coaches and Jackie was there, he broke down everyone. And he could tell you everything about what school they was at, when they was there together maybe for a week and they had to go this, there, and that way, and then this happened. I was just like, yeah. And then for all the folks who joking about going to the Service Academy, like, yo, I was at the Air Force. I understand what the Service Academy is, the type of characters, the type of student athletes that are at the school. It mimics what's here at UVA. So why not go get guys who are used to that and understand more with less in the sense of, from the optics standpoint, people think that these players are less than because it's not a sexy pick. So that's the more or less type of mentality.
Big fact.
Tremaine, what you got to do, man? What's going on?
What up, Big Doubt?
What's going on? How's everybody doing, man?
Man, we're doing fantastic, man. You are here today.
Hey, listen, special announcement, just so you guys know, because since he's not talking about it, Ball Hawk is coming out with a new song called I Want to Be Country. The music video, the music video is finishing up. It's almost done. We're going to debut this on Twitter, but I'm so excited for y'all to see Ball Hawk's music career come out. New song coming out called I Want to Be Country.
I
want to
be country.
Yeah, I told you I was gonna get your ass.
Hey man, don't make me hit you with the Dame Dash Breakfast Club interview right now. What you just said.
Hey, I have a question. So this interview today, because I being completely 100. I had no idea there was even a press conference until Ball Hawk, you made an announcement on Twitter. So were they like making this known on their social media pages, or did I honestly miss it?
It was media information.
Getting in touch with all his people around him.
Yeah, and then the media people was doing a great job. Various outlets were tweeting, doing, just kind of giving people, like, paraphrasing what he was saying and the things they took away from. But Jack can tell you, man, like, the dude, he's just so chill, man. Like, he was saying how being the head coach, you're getting pulled from so many different places and you're running around and – but for Jim Daves to come on and be like, all right, coach, I don't know how much time you have, but, you know, it's been 30 minutes. He was like, nah, y'all can go, you know, you can have another round of questions if you want. And, like, he would just relax.
That's what's
up. You know what I'm saying? So he's taking time.
Here's a question for you guys, because based off of stuff you guys have been saying, I've often wondered, and I use the Los Angeles Rams as an example, but Do you think it's possible we could actually go under center this year more with, you know, the Rams are really good with this using the play action to key both the run and the pass. They snap the ball. You really don't know what they're going to. I mean, they're phenomenal with the way they use their play action with their offense. So do you think it's possible that we actually go under center, especially with some of these running backs? OG, I'm with you, man. They not making me happier than for a hole to open up and Mike Hollins goes there and it's just him and the linebacker, because I'm just sitting there going, yeah, LB, you get ready to lose.
In order to answer that question, I probably have to go look at Coach Kitchen's offense with the Falcons most recently and just break down film and see how much he had Matt Ryan on the center. Because
they ran a lot of single back in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the personnel and what they feel comfortable doing, and seeing how BA acclimates being on the center as well, because the footwork is different from being in the gun. To like we see it all the time, right? Guys are under the gun their whole career. They get to the combine. What do they have to do? Hey, he was working with a specialist, understanding how to be on the center, how to get his drops from 3-5-7. You know what I'm saying? Play action, how that that adjustment from turning your back to the defense, then the safety in a different position versus when you're in the gun, you can keep your eyes on the safety and you can see them roll if they drop from 2-1 and things like that. So, yeah, that's a great question, man. It'll be interesting. But he did say, man, like, this is Coach Kitchen's offense. Like, he's running it. It's going to be a collaborative effort right now as far as the install and getting feedback from all the guys that's coaching on offense. And, yeah, you know, he made that known. So
I got Kitchen too in a new upcoming video. I'm not gonna spill that one yet, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
So is your video and you calling it hilarious?
Yes. Yes.
How do you know it's hilarious? Does somebody give you feedback?
When I can laugh at my own content, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with audition. I mean, even in reference with athletes, there's some auditions I went into TV shows and movies where I walked out the room going, yeah, you'd be retarded not to cast me for this role. And I got it. And then there were some I went in and I walked out the door going, yeah, they're not calling me back.
ladies and gentlemen, y'all didn't catch what he just did. Y'all did not catch what you just did, you know what I'm saying? Because when I come after my cast and I do what I do, you know, you be dumb. Like, who tells a boss after
the No, I don't tell them that. No. I don't tell them that. No,
you said that. You said that, Soulja Boy.
No. The first, I don't. No.
You, the only thing Soulja Boy and the first rapper to do, and he admitted it today on Twitter, was he wasn't the first rapper to get Rihanna pregnant. That's the first time I've ever seen Soulja Boy admit he was the first rapper to do something.
I can call my divorce off now.
Yeah. No, I don't. I just think that.
Pregnant. I'm boo pregnant. I'm done.
Whoa, man. Wait a minute, boy. This is recorded, man. Your wife can hear this, man. What you doing?
She know what time it was. She
ain't no. Hey. Let me ask some OG. You watch Lifetime?
Mute button. Time to hit the mute.
You watch Lifetime? You watch the Lifetime channel?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm gonna need you to look up the Lifetime channel. Look for a TV show called Snapped. Because you about to be the next episode.
Make sure find my iPhone is turned on so we can find your ass. Make sure that's turned on.
All the time, I'd be asking. I'd be like, "What, you gonna kill me here?" She'd be like, "No, I just like the shows." I
was like, "You really think she gonna say yes?"
I was like, "What?" I see you watching all these murder mysteries, collecting data.
Murder, she wrote. Da-da-da-da. Murder, she wrote.
Hey, that's funny.
It's good catching.
All right, man. Anybody else in the listener section that got a question about the press conference or anything else, Virginia football related? Shout out to my man Xavier in the building, man. My guy be out here getting it in.
Very admirable thing that you just did, too. We seen that. That's big right there. That's bigger than you. You bigger than yourself, big dog. That's big right there.
Who, Tremaine?
Xavier. What he just donated to the basketball school in this area, to the kids in this area.
Oh.
Yeah, he had got a stack and then donated it to them. And he didn't keep it for himself. Did it for somebody else.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I was 17. I can promise you, I wouldn't have been doing that shit.
Salute.
Yeah, he bigger than himself, and that is very admirable. That is very respectable, and that shows how far you are as a young man growing up in this crazy ass world.
Most definitely. Salute.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, man. I'm excited, bro. I'm excited about the season, as people can tell, because every Monday I come here. I don't know the last time I was talking about UVA football, like, right now, during this time of the year.
So. Hey, you know, it's something. The football is generating more than the basketball. That's all I got to say. During basketball games, we tweeting football.
Here he goes. Always want to start some content.
It's just the realism of the situation, my boy. Like, I see it out here.
That's because everybody just want to get
almost
next season.
March, and it'd have been quiet as I don't know what from them side of the fan base, dog. It is crazy.
Want to get next season, OG.
Yeah, hey. That's it. Get me the spring ball. And y'all, anybody who want to meet up, you can meet me right in front of Big E's picture. I can promise you I will be standing right there.
Hey, salute to Bryce Perkins, man. Super Bowl bound, my guy, three to the neck. Love that dude.
Right.
Man.
Go get your chips with dip, baby. Get your chips.
And also Dwayne Stoops, former UVA football player, played with me here, played defensive back from Baltimore. He's on the coaching staff as well. So salute to Dwayne Stoops and also Bryce Perkins, man. Wahoo wah. In the Super Bowl, dig it.
Yeah.
We need those accolades. We need those.
We stay ring chasing.
Ain't nothing but a practice play. Hey, practice players win games too.
Hey,
he out there giving Aaron Donald the business at practice. He ain't performing.
Let me tell you something. Anybody that say something like that, that check clear.
Hey, say it again. Clear.
I love when people say, "Man, you were just on the practice squad." I'm like, "Okay, you're right. I was." Is that supposed to be a diss?
Right. We in a completely different tax bracket, my boy.
It ain't even about that. It's like, though, I'm living my dream, though. You feel what I'm saying? Like, people got to realize, bro, like, you can't insult me when I'm living out my dream. You can't. I'm sorry. I just don't allow. Like, I laugh. They're like, "What's so funny? I don't see you playing. You sat the bench." Okay. All right. What else you got? Robert, what's up, brother?
Hi, just got on a question. Hey, Jackie, thank you for posting this stuff on Twitter about Coach Elliott. He had a Zoom call for, I guess it was quite a while. Is there a way to get access to that? I couldn't figure that out. Do anybody know?
I don't know for sure if they are going to release it out. Okay. Jackie, have you heard anything?
No, I actually asked Jim what was the plan. Usually they cut up a few pieces and put it on that Virginia Sports TV YouTube channel if they do anything with it. I know media members are going to have access to it, and I'm going to be cutting up the best answers and putting in my stories in the next week or so. So it's instead of watching 50 minutes, it will be like each question. But I'm not sure if UVA has a plan yet. I haven't heard back yet.
Appreciate that. Thanks. A question. When is the announcement? Is it tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the ACC network?
Tonight. The schedule
is tonight. Tonight
at 7, Rob. Tonight at 7. And you know, he said he kind of liked what he saw with the schedule, you know, mid-season, bye week, and then latter part of the season got some interesting games at home. So he didn't give too much away, but –
he also said some non-traditional game days.
Which
I hope that don't mean Wednesday or Thursday.
Whoa, Wednesday,
be
go
crazy. Non-traditional. It'll be
Thursday. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, we had some Thursday games the last couple of years.
It's probably a Friday.
That's true. And we normally have the one Friday game with Virginia Tech. You know,
I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say it's probably Virginia Tech because Florida and Florida State, it's rumored.
Yeah, they're on Black Friday.
They're on Black Friday. So I'm guessing a lot of rivalry games are going to be on Black Friday this year.
Oh, nice. Take it back to the essence, huh?
Yeah, I like that, though. I've enjoyed those Friday night games, even though it ain't been the outcome.
Salute to the Tech fans in attendance, man. You know it's always love with y'all until that game come.
Big facts.
All right, we got any other listeners that got any questions? You know, you got Jackie, you know, she got info on everything you need, God day. You know, OG, he got all the trash talking you need, and Tremaine can be anybody you want to be in the space. Like, if you want him to be Bryce Perkins, he could be Bryce right now because he's a thespian. You know what I'm saying?
I can't say it, man. Yo. He's the only one that can say this stuff and not get cussed out.
Hey, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's because we took a photo together and you bullied me. People don't know he had his hand on the back of my neck like I was a little kid when we took that picture. Like, you going to sit your ass right here and take this picture, sucker.
Man, that's how my homeboy my homeboy played for the Rams. Every time I see this man, he grabbed my palm, my whole head like a basketball. Like, what's up,
oh,
Andrew?
Oh, my God.
I'd be like, what, cuz? What are you doing? Yeah. He's like 6'9". He'd be like, what's up, Andrew? And grab my whole cap. I'd be like, hey,
oh, that's your government. Your government is Andrew.
Yes, sir.
In the flesh. I know that, dog. I know that. Mm-hmm. Drew Big Hill. Back. Let's go, Drew Hill. Yeah. Well, all right. Oh, shout out to the what's the young lady that played tennis here, man, that was in the Australian
Daniel
Open
Collins.
Final.
Danielle
Collins?
Is that it? Or am I off?
I'm going to look it up right
now. Something like that.
I want to make sure I salute her quick.
I threw 5 on the fan dude for her, though.
Yeah, Danielle Collins. Okay. Yeah. Salute she's to now, her, man. Danielle Rose Collins.
She's now ranked number 10.
Number 10.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah.
She could be a top American tennis player.
And her birthday 3 days after mine. I like it. I just learned something new. December 13th. Let's go. We connected. Sagittarius. That's how we rock it.
So, I have
get
a question.
These black uniforms?
Man, huh?
What happened?
He was asking if we're going to get these black uniforms.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Mr. Dreams and Nightmares would be the person that I think that could make that happen.
Black.
Yeah, man. Black going on. We need that. For a blackout game. The fourth side I have on all black in the crowd going crazy.
Let me ask you a question. If they make a black shirt for the fans, we know they don't want the bowing calf man. So what got to be on the front of it?
Man, I just put that vintage V on the front.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And like a white orange, and it's like a white, and then the secondary colors can be like, you know what I'm saying, blue and orange. And then everything else be black. That'd be hard body right there.
Hard body.
100%. 12-pack.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ooh, a black helmet? Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. That would be, that's some of those things. I know a lot of people be like, well, why do we need them? Why? This is the age where being loud, you know what I'm saying? UAB is trash, but they were true to love all 9,000 in New Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, UAB is trash. How you start off saying that, though?
They look good
as hell, boy. I'm trying to tell you.
We need to do the all orange with the black helmet.
They got some fire.
All orange with the black.
I do love the way that the uniform has changed, even though it is pretty close to Auburn. It stands out a lot more. You know, I love the fact that, you know, seeing these pictures that the UVA football, the official account has posted, you know, we've been decrypting the pictures, looking at the uniform. It looked like a different color, navy blue. It looked like we got both sabers on the sides of the helmet.
Oh, yeah, the both sabers.
That stands out. That's
both
saying,
what? Whoa!
Yes,
whoa!
Sir.
Wait a that man.
That stands out.
Yeah, the Bo Sabres is back. He had that at the press conference.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure I have to Google it and find out. But I know this Nike deal is coming to an end sometime soon. I don't know if it's this year. It might be next year. But something is going to have to be redone with that contract here shortly. So it's going to be interesting to watch that and pay attention to that, too, in terms of uniforms. You know what I mean? To see if anything will change. Maybe something getting added.
That's a great point, because if I'm not mistaken, when I was here, when we wore Reebok and football, basketball did, too, right? Like, Yep. It's usually so. Nike ain't gonna try to lead with our, you know, how our basketball team is viewed. So they gonna have to up the ante or something.
Yeah, they for real is. They definitely gonna have to up the ante. I don't even say you necessarily need to come out with black. Man, you can come out. Well, you can come out with a throwback with the sabers on the shoulder pads, the old jumps, you know, and that'll hit different. That would be an appeasement. But of course, those are the type of things that come, and I'm pretty sure you know already. We gotta win. Got to go out.
Oh yeah, you got to fill in. You definitely got to set the tone. Because we did look real good with Mike London with them that damn carbon fiber until we got carbon busted.
Boy,
man, that was one of the best helmets. A lot of people be hating on me for that. Those are so ugly.
Who did we play? That was a home game, right? I know UCLA, we had that little blend helmet.
Yeah.
But who did we play here?
Two different.
We had them home against Oregon. We wore them against Oregon.
Oh, my God. See, that's what I'm saying, yo. You can't wear your cute stuff versus them dudes.
Yeah, you had that one, the carbon fiber one, and then you had the little mirror one with the orange.
That's the one from UCLA. Yeah, that joint was. That's when you – what's that boy name that Josh Rosen lit us up?
Yes, sir.
God.
Yes, sir.
Little headache lit us up, boy, because he's a head damn dake for the damn NFL guys, apparently, because they just be releasing him, signing him. Like, they like, here, you take him.
Yeah, they did that. They did them dirty.
How y'all feel about the all orange? Orange top, orange bottoms, and orange helmets.
Looking forward to in between now and April, the spring game.
How y'all not even listen to what Adam said, man? He said, what's
I'm all for it here. I'm all for it.
How you feel about the orange helmets? All orange. All orange or either all orange with the black helmets. I think we got to do more with our orange, though.
Yeah, I think you got to do more with the orange first, too, as well. I agree with that. They get back to the old school with Sean Moore and them. Yeah, man. Hey,
a question. What do you think about Coach Elliott's kind of idea to keep everybody keeping their existing numbers for their jerseys? Is there any input on?
I think that's usually how it works. Like, majority of the time, the number you like, even though we had the jersey draft, a lot of times the numbers you had the previous year is what you usually kept, unless an older guy wanted to make a change before the incoming freshman came in. Like, it took me 3 years to finally get the number I wanted, which was number 9, but I wore number 80. Just because that's the number I was assigned, and every time I wanted to switch, like Shannon Taylor went and switched to 9, and then Demetrius Dotson, who was there before me, switched to 9 as well. And then my last year, it was free, so I got to get number 9 like I had in high school. But I think the majority of those guys, the veteran guys, will keep the numbers that they had, unless that was something they didn't have. So I know everybody's going to see if Keaton's going to keep his number or not. And he said he likes wearing that number.
Hey, Hawk.
You should have.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see that report on Jelani Woods is balling out in that East West Shrine?
Yeah,
thing?
Brother, I saw that.
Expected. I don't know how. Mind you,
Mel Kiper better put some respect on his name.
But see, that's the thing with Jelani, man. You don't realize how much of an avatar he is until you see him in person. Then you're like, oh my God, that's him? Let me reevaluate my. Hey, let me. Well, no, I can't say that because I get in trouble every time I make that joke, so I ain't gonna say it. But let me reevaluate my notes. I was going. Petty Hawk was about to say something that people text say I gotta say allegedly. What'd you say, Tremaine?
Text me. I'll say it.
No, heck no, heck no. Because you gonna put in the damn video. That's what you trying to do. You ain't.
I don't know how I missed that orange. Man, I think I had dropped out. But yeah, I double back on that. Orange too, man. Put that in the closet. We need options.
I will say options. One thing, though. Yeah. I would love to just keep the end zones the way they are.
Lockdown Podcast would also. Yeah. Lockdown Podcast would too, because that's what we use on our hoodies.
That's a beautiful thing right there, them diamonds in the end zone.
Yeah, sir. them diamonds is nice. Who idea was that? Whoever idea that was, you used a man, a woman.
Yep.
Didn't the whole
didn't the whole Orange Crush thing start from football?
Orange Crush, yeah, that's when Al came in. Al Greasy. That's the defense you wear, the starting defense you wore the Orange Crush jerseys on defense. Al Groh. Shout out to Al Groh.
Big shout out.
When he took over for Coach Walsh, I came back and I saw them practice. I was like, damn, why the defense wearing orange jersey? That's sweet.
Yeah, he was the man. That was a cool person to meet right there.
Al Greasy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Got a couple more minutes on here. Anybody that's in the listener section, if you want to ask a question, just hit that request. This will be uploaded later in its entirety and available on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure y'all go to iTunes, man. Leave that feedback. Help with the algorithms. Y'all been doing your thing because it's been helping. Trust me. And if you want to contribute to the podcast, it's a support button on anchor.fm. Just search the Ball Hawk Show podcast. And it's an anchor. It's a support button where you can donate a certain amount each month. And I do drawings and stuff where I send hoodies and t-shirts each month. So if you're one of those monthly supporters, you can get you something for nothing, basically. You can donate $5 a month and you might get you a $50 hoodie. So don't think I don't pay attention to. As soon as somebody get their damn gift, they stop. I be like, oh, you mother sucker. No stipulations. Hey. I don't make you stick around a couple of months before either. I ain't one of them people. It is what it is.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. Hey, do y'all think, I ain't got a problem with it, but do y'all think that Keaton's going to keep that 99?
I just said I think he will. Yep, I think he will, bro. I think he like that. You know what I'm saying?
That man can have number 130 on.
And they said he's gonna have a touch. They say he'll have a touch, a sheet to track how many touches he getting.
I bet.
Yeah, make sure he get the.
With Cordero,
you see that? See what Debo been doing? Yeah, but
he is not crazy. He know exactly what he got right there.
Facts plus tax.
For real, he saw the roster and was like, and watched some of the games, and he set up. Like Leo in that GIF with the cigarette pointed at the TV, like, oh.
OG stood in the building.
Like Cordero.
Hey, fam. There's a question for Ball Hawk. When is Petty Hawk coming back? I like Petty Hawk.
Hey, man, listen. We got to make sure Petty Hawk. We gotta be strategic with Petty Hawk, and we got to protect him at all costs. Petty Hawk is a dangerous man.
Man, you went off the hook the other day. I was like, dude.
We got to protect Petty Hawk at all costs, boy, because he's misunderstood. People don't realize Petty Hawk is protective of the brand. So when he attacks, it's not to make the brand look bad. It's to get people to back off.
Yeah, but you be telling them facts.
Yeah, see, man, we got to get people to campaign that Petty Hawk just say the facts before people think he's just a bully. You know?
Campaign. You riding that horse.
First, well, wait a minute now.
Right on in the
there
intro.
Hey, man. There you go. Hey, brother.
Hey. Yeah,
hey, I hope Jermaine tried to reenact that and fall off the damn horse. Oops, did I say that? Chip Henning told me that joke. What movie is that, Jermaine?
Say what?
You know what line that came from? Chip Henning told me that joke.
No. What's that from?
Money Talks, man. With Money. Damon Wayans, when he was talking to, he was quoting Stacey Dash.
Yep. That's a good movie. That's a classic.
Yes, it is. Get that tooth fixed. She punched him in the tooth. Get that tooth fixed.
How y'all feel about the old Cavalier mascot being in the middle of the field instead of the Sabres?
That's it.
Now he can run. Yeah, get the calf man to run out and lead the team with that big.
No, I'm talking about the actual logo. The actual logo on the 50.
The logo
on the 50. The old Cavalier that we like, the actual Cavalier.
On the
no,
horse?
just the face. I mean, just the face, the old logo that we used to have.
With the hat, with the little.
Yeah. Like that in the middle of the field with the sabers in the end zone.
Now, I want to keep the diamond in the end zone, but the old school, that might be dope. I like you, Adam. You own the something.
Fire. That'd be, yeah.
You own the something right there, brother. Or at least a secondary, like they do in basketball, at least at the 20s, you have it right there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be dope. How about we? Oof.
Mark it up. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen, Ma. Jackie, let's make it happen, Hawk.
Somebody's here, Jackie. But then somebody's here. I know you know somebody.
Hey, man, y'all think too much of me.
Sorry, I was chasing a 1-year-old. I was out of it for a little bit.
Yeah.
She's a dinosaur right now, so I have to go chase her.
Yep, I'm about to walk in the house and do the same thing.
Y'all keep going. I was talking to my wife right quick.
My joint keep going in and out. So this is the last thing that I got for the WHO fans that are speakers right now. What is one thing that we are looking forward to in between now and the spring game?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I mean, there's something going on Wednesday. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah. National Signing Day.
I would love to see a big splash.
Well, they might. I would expect one more commitment at least before Wednesday. Maybe two, and even maybe three. One, I'm like 99.9% sure I'll probably put a crystal ball in within the next couple hours after I call somebody in Florida, which probably is a big hint on who I'm going to be crystal balling. They've done a really good job with, you know, a few of the transfers. The one thing is a lot of these transfers, they're older guys. They're not going to rush the process. They don't have a deadline on Wednesday. So if these transfers don't sign on Wednesday, because they don't need to sign a national letter of intent, they'll sign a paperwork ties the school to them and not them to the school. So even if someone transfer signs a paperwork, doesn't mean that they're going to end up at that school anyways. They could still get recruited by other schools. That's the kind of the weird thing about transfers. But I think UVA has done a good job with the transfer that they brought in on campus this weekend. So the only thing I would say is that edge rusher from Miami, Ohio, don't expect a decision from him anytime soon. He wants to work through the process. And honestly, I think for him, he was very interested by Ole Miss. So I would expect him to visit Ole Miss before he makes any sort of decision. But yeah, that's what we're looking forward to now is to see if Coach 2J has some magic left for the 2022 class, and maybe get two more before the end of the day, before the end of it. So yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to is Wednesday to see if they get one more high school commit, which I think they will, and how much will they get another transfer between now and Wednesday? That's a big possibility. So just wait and see.
I'd like to see.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
No, Jacob, you go ahead, my friend. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, kind of pinballing off what Jackie said. I'm most looking forward. I know there'll probably be a couple more, if not at least one commitment before signing day, but where some of these transfers end up. Couple guys that I knew have visited UVA, like the boy out of Stanford, the offensive lineman out of Alabama, a couple other guys. Looking forward to seeing what they decide to do. But I did have one question, and maybe Jackie could answer. It is about basketball, even though this is a football podcast right now.
You can ask basketball.
Okay. I've been seeing a lot of smoke about Landon Johnson joining this good recruiting class for basketball. Do you know anything about that?
Landon is not going to make an announcement until after the end of his basketball season, and then he will announce. UVA's got a very, very good chance with him, but he's not making anything. He's just been kind of rubbery First it was before Christmas, then it was New Year, and then he officially said he's not making a announcement till after their season because he didn't want to be a distraction to his high school team.
Yeah, he's been waiting for a video to get edited. So that was the initial delay. Apparently there were he was trying to get a commitment video done before a certain time, and then that just kept pushing back and back and back, and then this is where we are right now. I think UVA has a very, very good chance. If I had to pick, I'll choose UVA today. Yeah, obviously there's a couple.
I saw a crystal ball prediction from a publisher on the Rivals website, and I was just wondering if there was actually if there was real smoke there. It sounds like there is real smoke.
And Jack, if you ever need me to black Tremaine out for trying to impersonate you because he asked you the question, and here comes Tremaine with his "I got the inside scoop" country twang answering himself, just let me know. I'll round him up, old Buckaroo, and I'll let him have it.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm curious to hear his interpretation of my voice. That I'm just curious.
Hey, listen.
Don't be impersonating me out here.
Yeah, don't be impersonating that Tremaine. But he's a thespian, man. They just know how to. Hey, man, what is Cole? What's her name? Mystic on the X Men. Could be any and everybody. Yeah, he Mystic right now.
Respectfully,
respectfully.
I think one thing that I'm looking forward to before I hop off of here is seeing how the end of this class, you know what I'm saying, how it rounds off with the sense of urgency that they needed to address them coming in as late as they did, you know what I'm saying, after the first signing day, you know, or right there at the first signing day to now, and then to turn the page to 23 and start your for real era. This era, you needed to tie it together to make things happen, to fit what you want, fit your model, however you want to say it, whatever, to fit your scheme, you know what I'm saying, what you was trying to get down. Turning the page to 23, you're going to start recruiting. Your dad's going to start recruiting his quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying? Of course, it starts with Jay, but you know you're going to need somebody after Jay. You know, you got your young guy in the 22 class. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how things change once these some of these recruits that he's been going in their houses the last 3 and 4 years when he was at Clemson down the road to now who they know, you know what I'm saying? They already know who he is. Mm. I think he's going to get in a lot of houses that we didn't have the chance or were given the time of day for. So that's what I'm very anxious to see that next board develop and see, you know, how things are about to change in that recruiting landscape. A relatable coach in a demographic in college football that definitely fits. We can talk about Air Maxes and dreams and nightmares all day long, my boy. That's a big thing right there. A relatable coach, you know? That means a lot, man. For real. Yeah. That's big.
Sorry, I just wanted to let people know that Tony Ellis' press conference is on the YouTube channel now.
There you go.
Ooh. Well, I'm about to go up in here and watch that.
Fantastic.
And OG, I agree with you on the fact that I really do have a good feeling about Tony really making these kids in state really consider staying in state instead of automatically jumping to one of these powerhouses out of state. I think it's going to be real hard for them to not at least consider it.
Yep.
It's a credit to him that one of the first things he did was go after the state, the 757, the 804. And I see his personal touch with these recruits at either their home visits or when they come to UVA. It's a really personal touch. You can see it in the pictures and the videos.
Yeah. And I think that's what he talked about today during his press conference is that, you know, with this time around, I mean, so he has a privilege that the other staff didn't have. Not only the relatability, but the fact that you are a national championship coach,
you know. So when you took this job at UVA and you started hitting those schools that wasn't really gaining a lot of traction from this university, he's stepping in there saying, hey, I'm the head man. Oh, and you know, already know where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? Where I was at previously when we did talk. You know what I'm saying? You know why I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's the type of thing that makes the transition a little easier and gives him a head start in that sense. And like you said, OG, like from the places he's been recruiting for the past 5 to 10 years, he's built those relationships. So you never know. He can start pulling from those pipelines just because of the relationship that he formed with the families and the uncles and the cousins, because there's been so many folks he's talked to over the years that goes a long way. We see that a lot with you know, a former great that was here that's at Penn State, how he can just go up in these schools in Richmond. Or somebody, if we offer somebody, how he could offer somebody right after that, because his name resonates with them. So it's all about, a lot of times, man, you gotta use your privilege, you gotta use your influence. You have to, because everybody wants to recognize something about you. You need something that hooks somebody, not game as in selling them something, but they got to see something in you that they can relate with and that they can aspire to. So, yeah, that's a good thing. I think that's the head start that he has compared to the old coach staff of when the whole world was opened up to them, and it was a lot different from when they first started out. So he used the likes of 2J and Biscuit and Slade, you know what I'm saying, and Clint, to kind of bridge that gap of, all right, how they do things here compared to where I was coming from in Clemson.
Also, I think I can speak for everybody. I think we're all excited to see where this master plan is headed as far as the facilities. I think that's another thing that Tony has the benefit of having. He can tell these recruits, it's coming. Bear with us, but it's coming. And I think that if we can really accelerate that process like I'm hoping, and the money looks like it is coming, that we can really see some improvements as far as the facilities.
Yeah, it's all about that shovel going into the ground. You see that shovel going to the ground.
Hey, I heard somewhere it's supposed to go in March, ain't it?
Is it? I was wondering if they could start putting shovels in the ground with the $10 million they got.
Hey, like I always say,
shit, if they need help, I'll put a shovel on the ground.
Damn it, I'll go get my shovel.
Respectfully, that's above my pay grade. So y'all know I always take a left turn when somebody's like, hey, Hulk, you heard about the master plan? Hey, man, did you know it was 40 degrees this morning? That's pretty warm after snowing. But, yeah, man, hopefully, you know, all the resources become available, and it's tougher than what we think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't count the university's pockets. I haven't been in those meetings. That's not my lane, so I can't say, oh, the money's there. I can't be matter of fact. I like to be matter of fact when I talk. And when it comes to that, I'm not matter of fact, so I stray away from it. I just say, look, man, I'm like everybody else. I'm a fan like everybody else when it comes to the master plan, and I've seen the visual, and I got excited. And I just know the young people and how they see certain things and the resources. It won't make and break everybody, but sometimes people they need optics, man. It's no different than going to a car lot. You just don't buy a car because of the rating. Like, it got to look a certain way. What them rims going to look like when I throw it in on that day?
Well, we know there's a starting point because of the most recent turn of events.
Absolutely.
We know there's a starting point.
Yep. And salute to the administrators, man, for keeping their ears to the street and not being like stubborn and digging their heels in, but understanding the fan base and their stance and the coaching staff and their stance. Like, a lot of people that's higher up could be like, man, take it or leave it. It is what it is. But when you can show that you can maneuver and work around some things to kind of appease to what your fan base has been communicating, man, you got to be saluted for that. They ain't gonna make everything come true. Let's put that out there. Like, nobody makes everything come true, but at least some of the major things that they hear people discussing.
I'm eager to see
if he can really get these Richmond guys. If we can get these Richmond guys, we'll be in the top 25 very quickly.
Hey, y'all got to realize he's from Richmond, okay? I'm going to make sure I put that caveat.
What happened?
And I respect him every time he do it. Because he don't never not do it. So I know when I'm going to get from him. And that's why I always know it's genuine from him. They're like, he dead ass serious. Like, he want every Richmond kid to come to you. Like, he'll text me, hey, Hulk, damn, man, we could have got him too. I'm like, you right, Adam. My bad. So he dead. He 100 with it. Like, that's coming from a true place of love right there. So as much as I'm joking, it's not a bad thing to, like you said, protect home base, man. You got to protect home base. It's no better feeling than seeing a roster full of kids that you saw in high school. And that's not a knock on anybody out of state, but it's just one of them things where, you know, you just want to make sure that you're getting that talent that's growing in your backyard to form up with the out-of-state talent.
I just remember somebody saying we need a couple of guys that, you know, that don't know Jesus. I know some of these kids from Richmond don't know Jesus.
Hey, man, let me tell y'all something, man.
That's your boy.
Let me tell y'all something.
Is this a joke? Is this a joke?
Let me tell y'all something. Y'all boys sound like Tremaine right now. Look at Tremaine. Yeah, you got to have a couple of dudes out there with the locs on and some Tims while they lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had a couple of them dudes that would lift weights and Tims.
With a toothpick in their mouth.
Whoa, I don't know about all that. That's a bad mama jamma right there, boy. You there with a toothpick in your mouth?
Suit him up! Suit him up, coach!
Sheesh.
Yes. Hey, if I stepped on your question.
That's okay.
I'll please still be my friend.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm going to head out and work on trying to figure out where these kids are going before.
There we go.
I'm thinking of doing a Twitter space probably tomorrow night to try to kind of preview National Signing Day.
Okay, get him, Jack. Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Sure. Y'all make sure y'all hit her with a follow, man, and tune in. She got all the info. She be out there burning both ends of the candlesticks and getting tugged on by her kids. So she out here buying jackets now and coats in Florida.
Jackie the UVA Woj, I'm telling y'all.
I'll tell my husband to call me that from now on. All right, bye, guys.
See you. All right, man. I ain't gonna be up here too much longer. I'm right here picking my daughter up to track practice right now. God, they want some Chick-fil-A. Ain't that some junk? I could make Chick-fil-A at home for them. You know what I'm saying?
My boo cooking something downstairs. This smells.
Yo,
good.
Who? Yo, who?
My boo.
Are you in a doghouse or something? Yo, boo. Oh my God, that boy out here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Valentine's Day coming up. I'm gonna get some edible arrangements, a couple of flowers. Hey, why my wife see a dude steal flowers out of the grocery store the other day? And I was like, how can you genuinely give stolen goods to somebody just like, hey, I got you some flowers? No, you didn't. You stole them.
Yeah. You're going to curse her.
Yeah. She out here. My baby got me flowers. Like, oh, heart. Stolen goods. We got to confiscate taking your flowers. Give me them roses.
It's the thought that counts.
Hey, look, it's going to count all right, too. It's a documented thought now. My man.
Oh, we hanging out when I come up to Seaville?
Huh?
We hanging out when I come up to Seaville?
When you coming up here, brother?
I'll be up here, I think, next weekend or weekend after next.
Weekend after next. Ain't that damn thing? Ain't that Valentine's weekend? You gonna be booed up.
I know I am. Nope, I won't be there. Then I'll be up here at some point soon.
And then I'm going to the New Edition concert soon. That's in February.
You gonna put your Jerry Carrolls in after?
I'm gonna have my If It Isn't Love suit on. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about that New Edition. New Edition, baby.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about the kid from Alabama. I believe he already committed to Colorado.
Oh, is that the lineman?
Yes, the lineman. Yeah. I believe he committed to Colorado.
Right? He did. Yeah. He committed to Colorado. He definitely did. You know, I told my daughter I was here, and where is she at? I'm here. Yeah. But look, man, I ain't going to hold y'all up, man. I appreciate y'all for rocking with me on Mondays, of course, man. If you haven't followed me, hit me with a follow. Hit all the speakers and anybody that participates or anybody here listening. Y'all go ahead and follow each other, man, so we get this UVA football. We're gonna keep making noise all off season, man. And then April was the 23rd, the spring game. The schedule was tonight at 7 p.m., so y'all be on the lookout for the schedule. I don't know if I'm going to do a Spaces on it, but I'll probably do a podcast on it tomorrow that I'll drop, just going through the schedule. First reaction. But y'all make sure y'all look for that at 7 o'clock, man. All right, y'all be safe. And OG, oh, he left. I don't know if he having his on Wednesday or not, but he'll let y'all know. All right, man. Hopefully y'all teams in the Super Bowl. Salute to the Rams. Bryce Perkins, Dwayne Stukes, Wahoo Wah for the Rams. One is a coach. One is a backup quarterback versus Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and what's the other? What's the running back's name? Mixon. Nick, yeah. Yeah. So, all right, man. Peace. I'm rambling. I'm out of here.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.